Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland, and I want to start, as always, by thanking you, our listeners. We're grateful for your encouragement and support. In fact, your support is essential to continuing our broadcasts. And today, I especially want to give a call out to Wills Transfer, and especially the proprietor, Terry Wills, who has sponsored this show and has done so much for our program and for Christian ministry throughout the city. Thank you to Will's Transfer. And you, too, can support our show, as well as find materials to encourage you in your Christian walk if you visit our website at goodnewschristianministries.ca or, for short, gncm.ca. The details for how you can support us and how you can find our devotional materials are found on our website. Today I want to speak to you about a scripture that has come to life for me through a prayer retreat that I was recently on. And the scripture is from John chapter 15, I'm going to actually read the whole chapter. It concerns Jesus being the true vine and his people needing to abide in the vine. So Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If anyone remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I will no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." We're going to take a look at this passage of Scripture as it speaks about our need to allow the Father to prune us and to cause us to bear much fruit. And also it commands us to follow Jesus, to pay attention to his words, to remain in him. We'll look at this in more detail, but I want to have you listen to a song. It's an old song from I hope a familiar voice to you, George Beverly Shea, as he sings, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." I think it's important that we remember when we hear Jesus calling us to abide in him and obey him, that we're also in the grip of a love that holds on to us and keeps us through all things. So let's listen to George Beverly Shea and be reminded of God's great love for each one of us.
Stop my head. I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust, life's glory dead. And from the ground there blossoms red life that shall.
As Jesus calls us through this metaphor or parable that he is the vine and we are the branches, we learn much about our relationship with God and God's intent for our lives. Jesus describes himself as being like a plant, and the vine that we're most familiar with is the grapevine, and so would his listeners. They'd be familiar with vineyards throughout Israel that had to be carefully tended in order to bear fruit, in order to be filled with the rich harvest of grapes on those vines. And so they were familiar with what it took to make a vine fruitful. And to make a vine fruitful, you have to prune it. You've no doubt got plants in your garden, if you've gardened at all. If you've had a tomato plant, you know that there's these parts of the plant that grow up and they're lush and green and full of life, but no fruit. You don't get any tomatoes off what we used to call the suckers, the parts of the plant that would just draw the energy of the plant but wouldn't produce any fruit. And you could identify those suckers and you'd pluck them off early in the plant's life cycle, and you'd see that the branches that did bear flowers would bear many flowers, and then the flowers would ripen into fruit, and we'd have a great harvest of tomatoes. It's clear that the metaphor is a simple one and understandable, that the purpose that God has for Jesus is that he should bear much fruit, and the purpose that Jesus has for each branch that is attached to him is that they should bear much fruit. It doesn't sound pleasant being pruned. Paul talks about pruning of the body of Christ when God decides to prune off some branches and graft in other branches. And we know we don't like the sound of the fate of those other branches that don't bear fruit. There's a bit of a warning, a bit of a sternness to the necessities of gardening. And we have to take that seriously, that bearing fruit is important to God. Bearing fruit is the point of our life in Christ. It's good news to know that as Paul talks about branches being pruned off from the body of Christ, that he also talks about them being brought back at another time, and that God's patience is incredible. God's patience is so faithful to us, even when times come when pruning must happen. But that's about the branches being pruned off. And then Jesus talks about each branch being cared for by this careful pruning. That means you and me being pruned, being cared for by God in order that we would produce much fruit. He describes this pruning, and I think that it's a really good metaphor, not just because Jesus said it, but because, think about it, our lives are filled with things that bear fruit for God. When we obey his commands, when we love our neighbors, when we share generously with those who are in need, we are bearing much fruit. When we speak the word of God to others and help to guide them in life gently and lovingly, when we introduce them to the gospel of Jesus Christ and help them to find peace and eternal life, we are bearing much fruit. It is joyful and wonderful to bear much fruit. How agonizing it is, how difficult it is to face a period of life and to think, I haven't done anything, I haven't produced anything, I haven't done any good in the world. We really want to have this fruit come out of our lives, and we feel so desperate to bear fruit if we find that our life has not produced anything. Now, we need to be patient when it comes to bearing fruit, and I don't want people feeling valueless if they aren't producing fruit at this particular moment in their life, because Jesus' words about pruning is saying that he is able to cause a barren branch to bear much fruit if that branch will submit itself to his care and keeping. Pruning isn't cutting off dead stuff only, although I've had a number of plants and trees in my yard that I've had to prune off dead growth or dead parts that used to be alive and now are only a source of infection and rot. But pruning also involves cutting off some really what looks to be very healthy and good growth, but it isn't bearing any fruit. And once you have dealt with sin in your life, once you've dealt with the things that are absolutely opposed to God's goodness, the selfishness and hatred, the resentment and bitterness, all those things that need to be put at the cross of Jesus and taken away, that's part of the pruning that takes place, but there's also a focusing of your life, a desire to let go of things that are lush and green and growing, but are not capable of bearing any fruit. When you look at your life and you ask, what is the most important thing for me to be focusing on? What are the things that need to be let go to enable me to walk where I'm going to bear the most fruit? Allowing God to speak to you about this is very important. And in fact, I've got to say that I was so impressed by the prayer summit in which this came to life for me. Tom and Terry White were leading us in listening to the Word of God very carefully and very prayerfully. And it is really amazing that if you spend some time in this scripture from John 15 and ask God, what needs to be pruned in my life? What is bearing fruit in my life? What care do you want to take over my soul, Lord, as you fulfill your purpose to bring much fruit into my life? That's a very, very good prayer. That's a very, very good time spent in the Word of God, and I would encourage you to do it. We're going to continue looking at more of this, the meaning of this passage, as Jesus describes himself as the true vine and the source of our life. But we're going to listen again to another song. This is a song that I think is a very beautiful hymn, And it's sung in a modern form by Mark Schultz. The hymn is Give Me Jesus, and it's from Mark Schultz's album, simply titled Hymns.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
As we move on into the scripture, and we move from the image of the vine and the branch particularly, we have Jesus speaking in plainer speech. What does it mean to abide in him? And he says something very, very clear, but because it's so clear, it can also be a little bit troubling. He says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. That sounds pretty clear. It goes against the grain of what we're often taught about the unconditional love of God, and it causes us to maybe have some questions. Would he stop loving me if I stopped obeying him? He also says later on, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends, because servants don't know their master's business. But he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. And that sounds, at least on first glance, a little bit odd description of friendships, of a friendship. You are my friends if you do what I command. But I'd like to move from this rather clear speech of Jesus to a metaphor myself and ask you, have you ever employed a friend? Have you ever hired someone who is a friend of yours? When you hire that friend, something does change in the relationship. Nothing in terms of affection, nothing in terms of fellowship and collegiality, but something changes in the expectations, because you now have a particular role with regards to your friend, and they have a particular role in regards to you. In fact, if you are employing somebody who's your friend, they rightly expect that you will be a good boss. They have a right to expect that a friend who's their boss would be a thoughtful and considerate boss, that the boss would take into account the well-being of his employees. Because, hey, I'm your friend. But at the same time, the boss has the right to expect that his friends are not going to take advantage of his friendship, that they're not going to slack off and let everybody else carry the burden because, hey, the boss is a friend of mine. That's not a way for an employee to treat a boss who's a friend. It's frankly not the right way for any employee to treat any boss. But there's a special obligation upon a friend to not make life difficult for the friend who's employing them, to listen to the needs of the business, of the friend's interests, and to try and do their best, their very best, because they're working for a friend. We are not treating Jesus as a friend if we take advantage of his kindness and try to be lazy or inconsiderate in the way that we live out our lives. He's given us a very simple command, and in this passage he doesn't really talk about all his commands. He focuses on one command. He says, "This is my command, love each other." And at another place in the very same scripture, he says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends." One command. Jesus says, if you love one another, you're remaining in my love. If your soul is filled with love as I have loved you, then you're keeping my love within you. To obey his command is very much to keep the presence of God in your heart and in your soul. It's perfectly right for God to say, listen, if you don't keep in my love, you're not keeping in me. If you don't love one another, you're not abiding in me. You're not remaining in my friendship and in my care. The fruitfulness that God wants from his people is, of course, varied in many ways. One advantage of a picture like the vine and the branches is that you can imagine, and you can also look at Scripture and see where the word fruit is used and how the word fruit is used. And fruit is clearly used about harvest, that when the Bible talks about the vines ripening and bearing fruit and the wheat growing up and bearing seed, that the images of harvest, that many more seeds will be collected than were planted, that much more fruit will be gathered than was originally used to produce the fruit. That harvest in Scripture is often talking about the fruit of reaching out to other people with the good news of Jesus Christ and bringing them into his fellowship, into his body. In fact, that they too would be grafted into the vine and they too would produce fruit. But the other kinds of fruit that the Scripture speaks about are in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, where it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." What a fruitful life it would be if by abiding in Christ and remaining in his love, in practicing the love and joy and peace and gentleness and patience and kindness and faithfulness and self-control that is required if we love one another, how much fruit we will bear in cultivating these qualities by loving one another. What a beautiful life it will be if at the end of the day what people say about us is that we bore much fruit, that our life was producing patience and peace and joy and love, and people were enjoying the fruit of our lives. And to add to that, that people in seeing what Christ produced in us also turned to Christ and they themselves became fruitful in these very things. What a harvest, what a joy, what a beautiful measure of our lives. And this is what Jesus has called us to when he calls us to abide in him. Well, let's turn our hearts to God in prayer and ask him to help us in this work, because of course only God can fully care for us and keep us and cultivate these qualities in us. So let's ask him. Lord Jesus, we need you. We want you to fill us, to graft us to yourself, that we would receive life from you, that we would receive the power and the capability to produce much fruit, to be a blessing to others through producing the fruit of your Spirit, and to see others grow and prosper because of what you've done in us and through us. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, I want to thank you for your encouragement and support. This program really depends on your support, both prayerfully and, I must say, financially. We have the opportunity on our website for you to support the costs of this broadcast. Did you know that our hosts are all volunteers, and so that the cost is merely to get the word out to the world around us? So you can join us on the website or make a donation to Good News Christian Ministries at Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, K0G1W0. That's in Ontario, Canada. Once again, thank you to Will's Transfer for their generous support for this program, and we just pray for God's blessing on all of you. Be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now to conclude the program, I'd like you to have you listen to a song called Take My Life and Let It Be, a song of devotion, consecration to God. It's sung by This Hope from their album Edges. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. May the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.